open Sundays 1 to 6. Boston open Sunday for teen browsing 11 to 6. Money back on any unaltered garment within 7 days. Okay, let's take another call. 254-5678, Ron WBC. Hello.
Hello, Larry. This is Leo, the little fat kid from Medford.
Oh, what's your name?
Leo.
Oh, Leo, the fat kid from Medford.
In my rush, I forgot to tell you, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh. Nice to have you with us, Leo.
Thank you.
Now, once again, you're 5'8", and you weigh how much?
250 pounds.
250 pounds?
Yeah.
You should take, what, 100 pounds off?
Yeah, at least.
100 pounds. How old are you?
I'm 18 years old.
18. Leo, tell me the truth. How'd you get so fat so young?
Well, I have an Italian mother, and she kept on feeding me pasta and bread.
So is your father Italian?
Yeah.
Is he heavy?
Well, he's not as heavy as I am. He's only about 200 pounds.
How tall is he?
He's 6 foot. So he's a pretty good build.
Oh, that's not bad. And yeah. Is your mother heavy?
No.
Just Leo?
Yeah.
She wants to make sure she's from the old school. Like,
yeah, she's always been the athletic type. I was always kind of the bookworm, and I just cotton.
And she'd say, Leo, mind you.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think that if you're fat, that you're healthy.
Yeah, I'm jolly.
Jolly, but it's not.
Yeah, I'm jolly on the outside, but...
Yeah, inside.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Leo, you're an intelligent kid. And all you have to say is, hey, Ma, would you do me a favor? She'll say, what is your favor? You'll say, Ma, you're the godmother. What is your favor? Say, I'd like to... I want to lose 100 pounds. And there's no rush to do it. Well, I can take off a couple of pounds a week. And there's one way I can do it, Ma, if you can help me. Please, let me go to a doctor and get a diet. Like, he'll probably say, Leo, eat broiled foods only. Eat maybe meat 2 or 3 times a week. Eat a lot of broiled fish. Cut out the pasta, the pizza. Cut out the heavy stuff. You don't drink any alcohol, do you?
Beer, that's my
beer. Oh,
beer.
The beer's got to go.
Yeah, I know, but I love the beer, Larry.
No, hold it. As of now, if you want to lose weight, beer, do you know how many calories in a can of beer?
No.
About 250.
Oh.
250. Oh. You don't realize, Leo, how much work you have to do to burn up 250 calories. It's amazing. And when you have a beer, do you have a beer every day?
Well, usually I go up like once or twice a week and have a few pitchers with my buddies.
A few pitchers?
Yeah.
How many cans of beer would you say it is a total for a week? How many cans of beer?
I'd say 25.
25 cans of beer? Huh? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
You know, 25 and 2 over, and 12, 0, 10, 1, 0, 4, 5, 0, 5, 2, about 6,000 calories.
Ooh!
6,000 calories. Holy mackerel. Now, you without any food, they're about 35 calories to a pound, 3,500 calories to a pound. You put on a couple of pounds a week just with the beer.
Ooh.
And I can tell by telling you that you don't exercise that strenuously, do you?
Well, I'm usually in the library reading this stuff.
Library. John, he puts on about 6,002 pounds a week in beer alone. And then with your mother, it's not your mother's cooking, it's your beer. You could, if you stop the beer, you could take off 2 pounds a week and still eat all the other fattening stuff. And listen, hey, Leo.
Yeah.
Walk a little bit. You're only 18 years. Start to jog a little bit. Join the YMCA in Cambridge. Get in there. Mention my name. I've got some good connections there.
Okay. Is that the one that burned down, though, Larry, or what?
No. They had, would I send you to the place, Leo, if it burned down?
Larry, not the Godfather, no.
No. Says I've got a buddy there named Dr. Bill Day. Go up there, say, Dr. Day, give me a program, will you please? He'll get you in shape. And after 6 months, you'll say, grazie, signore Lorenzo. Grazie, signore. You'll take off the weight. Just take off your beer and you know, you have to, no fads or anything. You don't have to drink the 15 glasses of water every half hour or something like that. Just cut down on your food. Just cut down. Cut your beer out. You can stop your beer and give yourself use your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Use your imagination, not your power. Every time you drink a beer, see, right now you say you love it, but you really hate it because the beer is your enemy. That's what's making you fat and undesirable.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a girlfriend, don't you?
Right.
What's your waist now? What's the measurements of your waist?
My waist is a 47.
47, my God. 47. 47. You see, how is a girl going to say, hey, there's my hero. Blum, blum, blum. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean, Mark.
So what you say, Leo, is all you have to say, and use your imagination, because I can tell that you're a good subject. I can tell by telling you. Use your imagination. The beer is out. Beer is out. John is just holding up a little sign that says, Beer Barrel Leo. See, John, you made him cry.
I'm laughing, Leo.
Oh, yeah. He has a little wheelbarrow for the belly. Mama, hey, Mama, I got a date tonight. She says, where are you going with the wheelbarrow? Carry the belly. 47.
Godfather, could I ask you a favor?
What is your favor?
Could you play the Royal Promise about, please?
Yeah, I'll do you the favor if you do me the favor. If you cut out your beer and say to yourself that the beer is poison to your body, the beer is poison to your body, that you'll have no desire to drink that poison because it's poisoning your system. And then you, I want you to, can you close your eyes, Leo?
Right, Larry.
See the figures, 150, that's what you want to weigh. For 5'8", 150 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And don't do anything drastic. Just cut out some of the fat foods, you know, the pizza, the spaghetti.
But most of all, the beer?
The beer, most important is the beer. That's out. Take a diet drink of some sort, and then go over to the Cambridge Y and see Dr. Bill Day and say, hey, Bill, I mean, Dr. Day, Larry Glick sent me over to get in shape. He'll put you on a little course. He'll start you walking first, and then he'll start you jogging a little bit, and then walking and jogging. You're only 18 years old, and before you know it, he'll have you in great shape. You'll feel better. You'll look better. You say, Mama. She'll say, wait. She'll say, hey, where's my little Leo? Mama, it's me. I don't recognize you no more. He'll say, it's me. I just came back from the Cambridge YMCA, and I feel molto bene. I tell you, listen, hey, seriously, Leo. If you do it, you'll be proud of yourself. You'll improve your self-image because your self-image now is not that great. You take a look at yourself, take your clothes off and stand in the mirror, and you say, is this Mr. America?
You're right, Larry, you're
That's right. So what you can do, and this will improve your life too later on, Leo, you'll be able to do this. You'll be so happy that you did this. See, don't use your willpower. Don't force yourself not to do anything. You have to use your imagination and keep repeating it over and over. Repeat it over and over. That obesity is an insult to your body. That this beer is poison to your system. It's poisoning your system. Before you saying you love it, now you hate it. You hate it. From this moment on, you hate that beer. It's your enemy. It's working against you. You understand?
You're right, Larry.
And every day, maybe 10 times a day, relax yourself and keep giving yourself these suggestions over and over. Beer is poison in my system. I have a strong desire. And then see yourself at 150 pounds in great shape, standing erectly with a new suit on, or in a bathing suit at the beach. These are the things that will help you to encourage it. See yourself. Use your imagination, and by Jove, it will work. You understand?
But Larry, I feel so good after I have a few pictures.
Okay, just say that you'll just reverse it and say that you'll feel miserable. You'll feel miserable because, you know, it's poisoning your system, and you get so fat you won't even be able to get in the house through the door. That's 18-year-old kid. Shame on you. Shame on you. So long, Leo.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry.
And do it, will you please?
I will. I'll try.
Okay. Hey, wait a minute. Hold it. Leo.
Yeah?
See, you said you... Now, as soon as you say, I'm going to try, I think I'll do it, you're leading off on the wrong foot. If you want to be successful in anything, say, I must do it.
I must do it.
I must. Accent, must.
I must.
Now you're on the right foot.
I must.
Don't be pussyfooting around with a particular thing. Get in there and do it. I must do it. And if you really want to do it, Leo.
Yep.
Got it. If you don't do it, you'll die.
I must do it, Larry. My life depends on it. If I don't do it, I'm going to die.
Keep saying that over and over, and you'll see. You'll take that weight off. So long, Leo.
Thank you, Larry.
The new Leo, and stop the bono.
You've been an inspiration. Thank you.
So long, Leo.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Men's top coats and overcoats made in Baron Anderson's own factory are a rare thing. There are only about 1,000 left in the world. This Baron Anderson group made of coats are on sale today in Baron Anderson's retail store. Fabulous savings. It's fabulous when you can buy a Baron Anderson made coat originally priced at $225 for only $79 and a $190 coat for $69. And a Baron Anderson top coat, originally priced at $140 for only $29. Yes, $29. And if you know the superb fabric, tailoring, and craftsmanship that go into a Baron Anderson-made coat, you'll rush down to buy. All styles, but not in all styles and all sizes. 100% wools and wool blends. With fall only a few months away, this can be the bargain of your life. The Baron Anderson stores at 745 Atlantic Avenue, corner of Beach Street, near the South Station in Boston. Entrance is on Beach Street. Open weekdays and Saturdays, 9 to 5. Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8. Yes, men, this is your last chance to own a Baron Anderson-made overcoat and topcoat.
There's a new law on the books. If you own a gun and don't have a permit, the penalty is a year in jail. No paroles, no suspended sentences. A year in jail, guaranteed. Why take the chance? Register today with your local police department.
BZ's big broadcast of 75. July 4th weekend. Return with us to those thrilling days.
What's the matter? What is it?
Another case for Nick Carter, master detective.
Pepper Young Family.
Jones Liniment presents Gangbusters.
Great shows and much, much more. BZ's big broadcast of 75. July 4th, 5th, and 6th from Dunphy's and Hyannis. It's all for the benefit of muscular dystrophy. The big broadcast of 75. July 4th weekend on Radio 103.
Let's take another call. 254-5678. You're on WBZ. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Larry Glick.
Hello.
Who's this?
It's Arthur Godfrey.
This is Larry Glick.
Yes.
Larry, first-time caller.
Where are you calling from, neighbor?
I'm calling from Austin, Mass.
Where?
Austin, Mass.
Austin. A neighbor. Yeah, what's your first name?
Al.
Al, go ahead. What can I do for you, Al?
Oh, Larry, this is quite a thrill.
Al, it's a thrill for me, too, Al.
I'm sure it is.
Yes, it is, Al. Everyone that calls. Listen, I'm happy for everyone that calls. Takes the time to get on the phone and dial. I am. I mean it, Al.
I can tell you mean it, Larry.
No, I'm serious.
You're a very sincere person.
Right, because if no one called, I'd be out of the business. I'd be working in a pizzeria, right?
Hey, Larry, I can tell this is really you.
Yeah, what can I do for you, Al?
I don't know, Larry. Huh? I just thought I'd call and pass the time of day, would you?
Oh, wonderful. How old are you?
I'm 23 years old.
What do you do?
Part owner of a cab company.
A part owner in a cab company?
Yes, Larry.
23. Where'd you get the bread?
My father.
Aha. What, Daddy left you some, one or two cabs?
Sorry, Larry.
That's okay. No, I like it. We can harmonize.
Well, I get really nervous over the radio, Larry.
What are you nervous about? You're nervous if someone doesn't pay the meter.
Well, I realize you have thousands of listeners, and I get really nervous.
Oh, take it easy, Alice. Just imagine if just the two of us talk on the telephone.
Okay, Larry. I'm so nervous. Okay.
Oh, what? Al, I didn't know that.
You are? Sure.
Al, what the... Oh? What fizz was he in, the racket?
No, actually, he manufactured plastic. He's retired now, but that's what he did, and,
Hey, why did you get into that racket?
Well, because it was available.
Well, why did you get into the cab business?
Well, because it was an available business, and it looked good.
Yeah, how many cabs do you have?
We have six cabs.
Six?
Yes, sir.
How big is your percentage of it?
We take 50%, and we give the cabbies 40%.
What do you do with the other 10%?
Well, that's ours.
You said 50%.
We take 50, and the cabbies get 40.
Well, and can I get the other 10?
Well, sure, Larry.
Well, what do you do with the other 10?
If you want to drive a cab car, that would be quite an asset.
Wait a minute. If you take 50 and you give them 40, who gets the other 10?
No, Larry, you don't understand. We take 60 and the cab.
Oh, 60. I thought
40.
I thought you said 50.
No.
Oh, 60.
Right.
Oh.
Correct.
I thought a lot of them pay 50-50.
Well, actually, in town, that's what they do.
Oh, you're not in town.
Right. In the suburbs, usually it's around 60-40, but in town, it's 50-50.
Do you drive a cab yourself?
Yes, I do.
How about your partner?
My partner does, too. And we hire a guy to dispatch for us.
Oh, that's
And
great.
It works out pretty well.
Was your father happy that you went into the cab business?
Yeah, he was, because I was kind of useless, you know, from high school on for about 4 or 5 years. But I finally got down to it, Larry.
Yeah.
You know.
That's
actually, Larry, what I called you about.
Yeah?
I need some help here.
I can help you.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
Will you put on your hat?
Well, what category?
Well, I'll tell you, Larry. Go ahead. Actually, I'm very aggressive, Larry, and
yes.
I would kind of like to get some help on that.
On what?
On my aggressiveness.
You want to be more aggressive?
No, I want to be less aggressive.
What's your sign? What's your astrological sign?
No, Larry, don't give me that crap. You don't know anything about that.
Well, I just want to know what it is. I just don't want to tell you anything about it.
Aries.
I knew that you would. Aries are aggressive people. I almost couldn't even tell you that.
Oh, could you tell me that?
Yeah.
Tell me more about Aries.
No, because I don't know anything about it, but I just know that Aries people are very aggressive.
How do you know that?
Just by having astrologers on, by listening.
Well, I'm not so sure you know what you're talking about, Larry.
Oh, well, a pal.
What, Larry?
You better watch your step or you'll be riding on four flat tires.
Oh, Larry, don't say that.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
But that's all right.
Don't, well, you are a little aggressive. You are a pushy.
No, I am. I'm very hypertensive, Larry. I thought you could help me out a little bit.
Well, why are you hypertensive?
Oh, I don't know what it is, Larry. I just kind of...
Well, if you don't know what it is, how do you know that you're hypertensive? You don't even know what it is.
Well, I'm very excitable. I kind of walk into bars, you know, and
yeah.
I have a few beers, and I'll let you get into fights with people.
Oh, Al. Hey, that's crazy, Al.
I know it is, Larry. I kind of think of myself as a very nice person, but...
Yeah. Hey, have a couple of drinks. Are you an alcoholic?
Geez, Larry, I don't think so. I hope not.
How much do you drink a day?
I wouldn't say that I drink every day, Larry, but when I do drink, I drink quite a bit.
How much when you go out to drink? How much?
I would say seven or eight drinks, you know.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty good. And then you become...
Larry. I lose my head.
Uh-huh. How tall are you and how much do you weigh?
5'7" tall.
Yeah.
And I weigh 145 pounds.
Man, that's dangerous. You walk in a saloon and fight with anybody?
Yeah, I'll take on everybody.
Okay.
Even you, Larry.
Holy mackerel, kid, but you only come up to my chest.
Hey, Larry, I'll take you on, though.
Really?
Sure, I can handle it.
Oh, well, okay. I mean, if it would calm you down a little bit.
Well, you see, Larry, this is...
But
it.
I hold it, but
I
the thing is, hey, Al,
that.
Al. But
Larry,
the thing is, I'm more of a lover than a fighter.
I know that, Larry.
Right.
I know that, Larry.
Well, I wonder, see, it would be interesting to find out what makes you angry. See, that when you drink, there's something inside that is eating you up.
You're right, Larry.
So
you're absolutely right. What
you have to do,
I
Al.
I recognize this.
Yeah. What you should do, really, is go to, I'm not a psychologist or a doctor. What you
I
have
know
to
that,
do,
Larry.
What you have to do is go
but,
to.
But you're a hell of a human being.
Well, thanks, Al. What you have to do is go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist. That doesn't mean that you're insane. It just means that there's a little problem, an underlying problem.
No, Larry.
Al.
I mean,
Al.
I
understand. You better.
I mean,
Al.
Pardon me. I'm sorry.
Al. You go to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and tell him these particular things. And if he uses hypnosis, what he'll do, this is interesting, too, he can regress you back to when you, if you see your conscious mind is not even aware of it, and he can regress you back to a certain time and find out what it is. It may be your father you can't stand, or your mother, or a friend.
They're both lovely people, Larry.
Yeah, but there may be something that they did to you, and it may be this, or a relative.
They might have beat me when I was a young kid.
You never know.
And I can't remember it.
That something like that, Al?
Oh, Larry, I don't think
Al, but there's something. It could be something that happened to you in your youth that is disturbing you, and all you have to do, I can tell, Al, I just know, I feel it.
Tell me, Larry.
I feel that as soon as you find out what it is, like, I've seen some of these sessions where they have a tape recorder going, and they regress the person, and then it takes a trained therapist to ask you these questions, and then it's amazing the things that have happened to you. Everything that happened to you since you were a kid is recorded in your subconscious. And you mention these things.
We're
all of a sudden,
of our experience.
That's right. And then he'll say,
that.
Al, this is why you act belligerent and antagonistic, because of this thing. And that happened to you when you were a boy. And it's not necessary to do it. And he'll replace this feeling with another feeling. And you'll feel as if a monkey was just taken off your back. You'll feel great. You walk into a saloon, you say, hey, I'd like to buy you a drink. Oh, hey, there, come
here. No, I don't want to fight.
Hey, there's friendly Al. Al. Hey, what a nice guy. Hey, come on, Al. Let me buy you a drink.
I'll tell you, Larry, it really bothers me because I'm not normally, at least the
right.
way I picture myself, I'm not a belligerent person.
Right. Well, there's something in your subconscious that bothers you.
I mean,
and that you should uncover,
can
really.
Can I interrupt, Larry?
Go ahead, Al.
Well, at one time, I thought it was the fact that, you know, like, I kind of pictured myself a failure. So what I did was I went out.
Picked yourself a what?
I kind of pictured myself a failure. So what I did was I went out.
A sissy boy.
And I made myself some money, you know. But
yeah.
That just didn't seem to take care of the situation, you know. It still seems that, you know, there's something missing.
Yeah. Well, see, that's not it then. It's something else, and that your conscious mind is not aware of it. So I'd spend a few bucks and go to a good psychologist or psychiatrist, jump up on the table and let him relax you and regress you. Really, Al, I'm serious. And get that little problem so you don't have to... See, that's it. That may be it. You thought that you were a sissy boy and you have to act tough, right?
Well,
that's not it. No,
I'm not so sure, Larry.
Well, you just mentioned it, so you were thinking about it. But
well,
you don't have to do that. Now...
What,
now, you don't have to do it. It could be something entirely different. Like, I used to listen to tapes of this friend of mine who's a psychiatrist, and it's amazing. It's amazing that he'll detect, you'll say one little thing when you were a kid, or usually these happen when you were a child. One little thing, and it takes a trained therapist, they'll find out, they'll say, and then he'll work on it, and I guarantee that you'll feel so good, Al. And you won't have to prove your manliness. You won't have to prove this or anything. You won't have to wear your high heels anymore. You'll be just...
I don't wear high heels.
Well, you know what I mean. You just be a normal person. Just be yourself. You're an individual person. You are Al. And you've got things that no one else has. You have a certain charisma, personality nobody else has. People will like you. But people don't like tough guys that want things. Hey, you know, especially if you're a little guy and you go to hit a big guy. You know, the big guy says, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Hit him on the head? It looks bad.
It's a little guy.
Yeah, but that's nothing, because listen, the size has nothing to do with a person. It all depends what's up in your brain, how you feel about it, how you adjust to certain things, right?
You're absolutely right. Larry, you're a wise man.
Thanks, Al.
You are, Larry.
But I'm serious about that. They go to see someone, and maybe two or three visits, it'll be the best few bucks you ever spent in your life.
Do you think I'm in serious trouble, Larry?
No, there's no serious trouble.
You think this all for me?
Oh, how old are you, Al?
I'm 23.
Yeah. This is the time to do it now. Get that monkey off your back, and you'll see you'll be happier than you've ever been before. So long, Al, and God bless you.
Thank you very much, Clint.
Bye, Al.
Bye-bye.
Adam, take a bite of this apple.
Oh, thanks, Eve. This will be the first time I've ever eaten an apple. This is good.
Glad you like it, Adam. Now I've got another first for you. Watch First Four News tonight on TV4.
First Four News? What's that?
First Four News? Oh, it's a lot of things you've never seen on television news, Adam. At 5:30 on TV4 with Jack Williams and Pat Mitchell.
I can hardly wait. What are you doing tonight, Eve?
I'm busy.
It's spring cleaning time, and time to turn the great yearly throwaway into the great spring giveaway. The Salvation Army can recycle just about anything, so BZ asks you, please, don't throw it away. Call the Salvation Army at 536-7540 and recycle it. 536-7540 for the Salvation Army's pickup service.
The WBZ ALA Rush Hour Rescue. Joe Green in the BZ Copter reporting up-to-the-minute traffic information.
The traffic situation on the expressway south.
And ALA patrolling the expressway and helping the harried commuters.
We have an accident scene down here involving three cars. One of the vehicles is burning. I see the ALA tow truck down there trying to make his way up to the scene. Perhaps he is a fire extinguisher.
Rush Hour Rescue, a free service from ALA and BZ.
The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, is licensed to buy gold articles such as rings, bracelets, chains, old watches, gold teeth, yes, even gold teeth, and any gold coins. Also, the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, buys regular silver coins dated before 1964, and rare coins or silver in any form for instant cash. So search around all bureau drawers for those unwanted gold and silver articles and coins. If you live outside the Boston area in other cities or states, mail the items insured for appraisal. If the appraisal is satisfactory to you, a check will be sent to you by return mail. The Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center, makes no charge for appraisals. No amount too small or too large. So bring or send your silver and gold articles to the Silver and Gold Redeeming Corporation of America, 1865 Mass Avenue, Cambridge, Massachusetts, between Sears and the Flag Center. Men, this is your last chance to own an overcoat and topcoat made in Baron Anderson's own factory. There are only about 1,000 of these coats left in the world, and they all go on sale at fantastic savings in the Baron Anderson retail store. You can buy a Baron Anderson-made overcoat, originally priced at $255 for only $79. Or a Baron Anderson-made coat, originally priced at $225 for $69. Or Baron Anderson-made topcoats, originally priced at $140 for only $29. When these overcoats and topcoats are gone, there will be no more ever. If you've had the good fortune to enjoy the superb fabrics, tailoring, and craftsmanship of a Baron Anderson-made coat, you'll fly down to the Baron Anderson retail store and grab off one or more of these coats for next fall, just a few months away. All sizes, but not all sizes in every style. 100% wools, wool blends. Open weekdays and Saturdays, 9 to 5, Mondays and Wednesdays, 9 to 8. Go now to Baron Anderson at 745 Atlantic Avenue, near the South Station, corner of Beach Street. The entrance is on Beach Street. Okay, let's take another call, 254-5678. We have Al Hertz standing by with Java in a minute. Let's see who we have. Hello?
Godfather.
This is the Godfather.
So long here, I almost fell asleep.
Don't fall asleep. What is your favor?
Godfather, I never ask for anything.
What is your favor?
But the song plays in my head.
What is the song?
Quiet Village.
Quiet Village.
Yes, Godfather.
That is your favor?
Yes, Godfather.
Eddie,
this song
do we have cool. Quiet Village? You know that song, Quiet Village, Eddie?
Maybe 6, 8 years old.
6, 8 years old. Oh, Eddie? No, he's more.
No.
The song,
Godfather.
I'll look for it while I play this song, okay?
Godfather,
Quiet Village.
I just finished reading a book by Robert Ruah.
Yeah.
And I'm still in Africa.
Hold it. Hey, stay on the line. I want to talk about Africa.
Okay.
I'll go get Java.
Okay.
Join Gil Santos and the BZ Morning Team for a complete report on all the sports happening today, beginning at 6 on Radio 103. The Spirit of New England, WBZ Boston Group, W. Westinghouse Broadcasting. It's 58 degrees in Boston, tonight will be 56. I'm Judy Glick reporting the 2 o'clock WBZ News. The chairman of the House group probing the CIA is quoted by the Cleveland Plain Dealer as saying at least one foreign leader was killed in an agency assassination plot. He didn't say who, but the paper narrowed it down to one of three men. Patrice Lumumba of the Congo, Dominican Republic dictator Rafael Trujillo, or General René Schneider of Chile. Senators Lowell Weicker and Howard Baker, who served on the Senate Watergate Committee, urged the formation of a permanent joint congressional committee to police all government intelligence operations. Said Weicker, the litany of CIA and FBI abuses is overwhelming. Diplomatic sources disclosed on Wednesday that Israel is willing to enter a new round of bilateral talks with Egypt, meaning Secretary of State Henry Kissinger may resume his shuttle diplomacy. The Israeli Prime Minister met for 2 hours with President Ford in the White House. Later, Ford and Israel's Yitzhak Rabin exchanged pledges of national friendship in a White House dinner. The guest list included 10 Israelis, 8 congressmen, and 13 senior officials, including Kissinger. After Arkansas Congressman Bill Alexander spoke against the proposed gasoline tax increase in the energy bill, the House voted to strike the provision completely. Democratic leaders had urged lawmakers to show Congress that they had called the guts to take the steps to conserve energy. Air France says a fire started Wednesday night on one of its 747 jetliners taxiing off in Bombay. There were no casualties. A spokesman said the plane bound for Paris was able to stop in time, and all passengers were taken off uninjured. WBC News time, 2.5 minutes after 2.
Jobs are scarce. Massachusetts has the fourth highest unemployment rate in the country. Even college grads are having a tough time finding a good job. So without a high school diploma, you're stumped. Even if you get a job, chances are it'll be hard work and pay peanuts. So stay in school. Watch out for number one.
The trial of four Bader Meinhof terrorists resumed in Germany today amid more chaos. BZ's Jim Browning reports from Bonn.
Shouting and cursing have erupted again in the trial of four alleged urban guerrillas in the southern city of Stuttgart. The four are charged with a series of bombings, robberies, and murders in the early 1970s, including the death of four American soldiers in anti-Vietnam War bomb raids. The trial of the four so-called Bader-Meinhof gang leaders has been delayed by wrangling over the defendants' rights, such as the right to choose their own lawyers and talk to each other. The indictment has still not been read. The three original lawyers for defendant Andreas Bader were banned from the trial on suspicion of conspiring with their client. Two other defendants were excluded from the trial Tuesday, the third day of the trial, when they shouted at the judge. Bader has found a new lawyer now, but the defense is still arguing that defendants' rights are being badly restricted. Among other things, Bader charged that he was not even allowed to drink coffee. And in a new shouting match, he cursed the judge. Jim Browning, Group W News, Boston.
And now the weather for Boston and vicinity. Cloudy, chance of showers by morning, lows around 60. And for Thursday, June 12th, 1975, occasional rain with chance of a few thunderstorms. Sorry to tell you that. I want to give you sunshine every day. Sunshine throughout the summer. High 70 to 75. Thursday night and Friday, partly cloudy with chance of a few showers. Lows near 60. Highs in the 70s. Probability of precipitation, 40% this morning and 80% Thursday, 40% Thursday night. It doesn't look good for beachgoers and some worshippers. In Boston, 58 degrees. High sports fans in the BZ scoreboard in the American League. First game, California 14, Detroit 7. Second game, listen to this, please. Second game suspended after 8 innings because of 1 a.m. curfew, with Detroit leading 5-3. Yankees 5, Minnesota 1. Oakland 5 and Milwaukee 3. Kansas City 7 and Cleveland 1. Oh, we have to start this one. I was wondering where that Boston one was. Here it is. Boston 9, the White Sox 7. The game went 14 innings. Good luck, Red Sox. In the National League, Cincinnati 3, St. Louis 1, San Francisco 8, Philadelphia 3, Houston 5, and Pittsburgh 1, San Diego 3, Montreal 1, New York 2, Los Angeles 1, Cubs in Atlanta postponed because of rain. That's it, sports fans. The top story of the hour. The chairman of the House group probing the CIA is quoted by the Cleveland Plain Dealer as saying at least one foreign leader was killed in an agency assassination plot. And that's the 2 o'clock WBZ report. I'm Peter Glick, WBZ News. A WBZ editorial last week said that the Phase 2 desegregation plan for Boston schools moved beyond forced busing to offer city students a real promise of quality education. With many new options and programs, here is a rebuttal with Senator William Bulger of South Boston.
WBZ's editorial on Phase 2 is a frivolous repeat of its performance last September when it and other members of the media brought us the journalism of joy. It is no wonder that those who live outside of Boston and who rely on WBZ News still remain uninformed about the realities of life in the city and the havoc that Phase 2 will wreak upon the families of Boston. It is also no wonder that tensions run high when those whose children are affected by the busing order are glibly told by WBZ that major changes in old established systems never come easy. WBZ is not only intellectually dishonest, it has demonstrated an incompetence in reporting the realities of what the federal court has done to the families of this capital city. One reality that WBZ cannot escape is the white exodus from the public school system and from the city itself. The exodus is now underway, as predicted by even the famed educator James Coleman. The federal judge himself concedes that close to 10,000 white students have left the system since September, and Boston's grammar school population is already over 50% black. The so-called resistance movement results from thousands of families acting independently and responsibly to resist or to avoid a court order that works against the best interests of their children. They have the same concerns as do families in Winchester or Wellesley. What these parents share in common is their unwillingness to expose their children to a deficient learning environment and to an atmosphere where the safety of those children is at stake. The tragic irony is that those who oppose forced busing are working to keep Boston an integrated city. WBZ and others who support the busing plan, on the other hand, are endorsing a white exodus of caring parents from Boston and its schools. WBZ is indeed among the new segregationists.
WBZ has presented a rebuttal with Senator William Bulger of South Boston. He was replying to our editorial citing the promise of quality education in the Phase 2 desegregation order. And now, back to the Larry Glick Show. And we had someone on before. Hello.
Oh, Max.
Yes, what is your favorite?
Godfather.
What is
we're
your...
looking for that song from.
Oh, Promise Me.
It is such a great piece of work.
Yes.
Quiet Village.
Quiet Village.
Do you recall it?
I do.
The piano.
Yes, I do.
Dun, dun, dun. And the birds.
Two more. It says, give me more of it. Keep going. Give me the dum, dum, dum. Go ahead.
Dun. And the birds go, ah, ah.
Oh, yeah.
You know which one I mean. It brings you right into the jungle.
Oh, yeah. Give me the birds again.
No, I can't.
Please.
People.
Forget the people, please.
I'm at work, Larry. I can't wake the people.
You're at work. You sound like you're half asleep.
I was. I just had a cup of coffee.
Give me the birds. I like the. Give me the birds again, please.
Oh, oh.
Hey, that was very good. What I'll do is I'll try to find it, okay? Hey, what kind of work do you do? Huh?
Huh?
What kind of work do you do?
I'm a mental health worker, Larry.
Mental health? You're at an institution now?
Yes.
Can you imagine if some of the inmates heard you do it? That bird, I'm sorry I asked you to do that.
Oh, that's all right. They do them themselves.
You do any? Oh, yeah, but they're there for a reason. I mean, they won't know why you're doing it.
Oh, it'll diffuse them.
Can you do any other impressions of animals or birds?
No, but I really would like to hear that Quiet Village.
Quiet Village, well.
Do you recall that song, Larry?
I do, yes, I do. It wasn't one, I must confess, you know, it wasn't one of my favorites, but I remember it.
You know what brought it to mind? Was I just finished reading this book, Uru, by Robert Ruach.
Oh, yeah, what was that about?
About Kenya, you know, gaining its independence.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent book.
What did you take away? What information did you come away with after reading the book?
Well.
How do you feel about the situation in Kenya?
I don't, you know. It's funny. I don't know how it is today. The book left me hanging in the 1960s.
Yeah.
So I plan on going to the library and updating, you know, finding out what is going on in Kenya today.
And
I also want to read Guy Ruach's Something of Value, which was about the Mau Mau uprising.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was before that.
I remember the Mau Mau.
Yeah. That was some bad doing.
Bad. Ooh-wee.
But,
why does that part of the world intrigue you?
Well, it's strange over there. But as primitive as we've got left, you know that?
Yeah, what is your descent?
My descent is Anglo-Saxon.
Does that part, does the British Isles, does that interest you?
Well,
you're interested in the history there, the background? What?
Not really.
Yeah.
My people came from Newfoundland.
Right.
We're fishermen.
Right.
You know, like I came from a long line of fishing.
Right. Are you a fisherman? Did you ever been out to sea?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I was in the Navy then.
Sweepers, man, your broom, fore and aft.
Chippers and scrapers.
Chippers and scrapers.
Painting detail
forward.
Yeah. And I live on the ocean, Larry.
Where? What town?
In Squanum.
Oh, yeah.
I live right on the ocean, and I have a Boston whaler.
Oh, you son of a gun. That's...
I get out there, and I make that baby sing from wave top to wave top.
Yeah.
And I explore the island.
Oh. Do you know Edward Rowe Snow?
Not personally. I've seen him, you know, and I've read most of his books.
Yeah, you know, isn't that funny, though? My wife's people came over the Mayflower, and his people came over on the Mayflower. His people, yeah, this is interesting. I didn't even know until I was talking.
Yeah.
Her family name is Doty. You know, her family was a fellow named Edward Doty that came over. He was 21.
Yeah.
And his family that came over was a family named Hopkins. Now, they had, I think they had indentured, they called them indentured servants or something at that time. If they went into debt, or what they would do is they would take them. So Donna's relative, his name was Edward Doty, he came, he was 21, and he served a 7-year apprenticeship for Hopkins.
Uh-huh.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And
then, but then they were all sea people too. And Mr. Edward Doty was sea captain, and so were Donna's.
I'm very interested. You know.
I am too, and they went, as a matter of fact, this is interesting too. They did some research, and one of them, I think his name was Samuel Doty, was a sea captain, and took a ship from Nova Scotia. A lot of them went up into Nova Scotia. And then he took a ship down to where the Bermuda Triangle is, and they had an accident down there, and he expired down there, ship and all.
You know, Larry, do you know what might be an interesting call?
A little louder, neighbor.
You know what might be an interesting call?
Yeah. Oh, one more story. Let me tell you about this guy, Doty, who came over. Doty, and there was another fellow came over the same age. And they fought a duel. After they were freed, they fought a duel over this girl.
Yeah.
And the girl dumped both of them and married another guy.
Just want to see a little action,
right. Little action on Plymouth Rock. prithee, my lord, I shall whack thee.
Yeah.
Whack thee, if thou gets a chance to whack me, thou wilt.
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were you going to say, kid?
I was going to say, you know what might be an interesting call?
What?
It'd be, it used to be the old anchor in Key West, Florida. When I lived down there, it was the old anchor in, but now it's called the Midget Bar. They had to move away from their old location.
Why?
It was town harassment.
Oh.
It was actually, somebody wanted that building, you know, and so they were kind of...
Hey, that's not important. I was just picturing you as a seafaring man going from wave top to wave top in that Boston whaler.
Yeah.
Well, how about the salt air? I love that smell.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Oh.
Bud Marshall, he was the Bud Man, we called him. When they made him close down his joint, instead of selling out his stock, he opened the doors and everybody drank free until it was dry.
Hey.
And they refused him a liquor permit on that site, but he could open one at another site. So he did. And now the Midget Bar in Key West. And the Bud Man is, one of the great institutions in the U.S.
What were you doing down there?
Oh, I used to, just sort of live down there.
You were a bum?
Yeah, well, I scuba dive.
Hey, son of a gun. Oh,
I did shrimp and like little money.
Yeah.
It is nice and the money.
Right.
It's a fantastic place. I hope the back here.
What do you do for a living now?
Huh?
What kind of work do you do now?
Mental health work, Larry.
Oh, I thought you were putting me on with that.
No, I'm serious. I'm a mental health worker. I counsel people.
You sit in the ward, eh?
Yeah. Well, I'm working nights now because I'm going to school there.
Where?
Boston Technology.
What are you studying?
Technology.
Hey, that's great.
And, I also do drug counseling.
Oh. Will you ever enjoy yourself?
Huh?
Do you ever enjoy yourself? The truth. Come on. I want to know.
Well, you know, that's personal.
Well, I know. This is a personal This is a personal program.
Yeah, well...
You were on drugs. I can tell you aren't the same thing.
Yeah.
How long were you on drugs, kid?
Quite a while.
You
about 8 years.
8 years. Yeah. But I'm glad you're on the right track now, kid.
Oh, I am.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, thank God.
Right.
Got a program here at the hospital.
Right. Oh, isn't that interesting? You were in the program at the hospital, and now you want to work there, now you're going to school. I'm going to give you a round of applause.
Every time we come down, we read about it.
That's great.
You can have a very high percentage of
recidivism. That's the repeating, right.
In fact, one of my old partners is up there now, and I'm pulling bombs.
Well, listen, I want to wish you luck, because...
Okay, ALM.
If I can find that...
See if you can find that.
Because if you're a good kid, if I can find... Eddie, if you can find quiet drugs, I'd like to play for this guy.
Yeah, because...
It's 6 years old, though. I don't know if it...
That'd make my night.
You know who does it? What group?
No. See, that's what I want to also find out, so I can go out and buy it.
Quiet Village. If you see, it would be easy if you knew who did it.
Yeah.
Quiet Village.
It was about 8 or 10 years ago. And, you know, every once in a while, they play it.
Well, listen, you leave it to us. We'll try to find it, okay?
Okay. Thanks a lot, man.
So long, pal.
See you later.
254-567. Thank you on WBC. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Gray?
Yes.
This is the first time I've ever found. I'm nervous.
Don't be nervous. You're welcome here, my dear girl.
Thank you. Now, what I wanted to call is, you had a call earlier who told the joke about the New York... the fellow who didn't have a leg to stand on?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, well, I think he has a very sick sense of humor. Because I'll tell you, this is a true story, and it's happening now.
What?
My father is a diabetic.
Yes.
Who last, about 2 years ago, had his right leg amputated.
Yes.
And this year, now, he's in the hospital. He's going to have his left leg amputated. And when I heard that joke, I mean, it hit home.
Yeah.
You know.
I can imagine.
About the fella who doesn't have a leg. He really doesn't have a leg to stand on. He's in the hospital now, and he's very depressed. He's very upset. He's 61 years old. He has a weak heart. And I thought maybe if anybody out there is listening, if they want to send him a card or anything, just to help cheer him up. Because he's going through an awful lot right now.
All right, they'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, it's really hard on him. As I say, he's 61 with a weak heart. The doctors aren't guaranteeing us anything. You know, we don't even know if he'll come through the operation. And we're
they going to take off a leg?
Yeah, they're going to take just below the knee.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they took it off below the knee on the other one, and they said it'd be fine. Now they're going to take it below the knee on this one. So,
What's his name? Where can they send his card to?
It's Mr. Ralph Blackburn.
Let's see, Ralph. Blackburn, right.
And he's at the Cardinal Cushing.
Cardinal Cushing.
General Hospital.
General Hospital.
And that's 235.
235.
North Pearl Street.
North Pearl Street.
Brockton, Mass.
Brockton, Mass. I know a lot of people send some cards and letters to Ralph Blackburn, Cardinal Cushing General Hospital.
Right.
235 North Pearl Street, Brockton, Massachusetts.
Right, because he's very depressed right now. I mean, we all are.
I can imagine, right?
You know, and as I said, you know, when I first heard that call, that's why the first time I ever called, and that's why I'm calling tonight, to tell your friend that he has a very bad sense of humor, if he thinks that's funny at all. You know,
he didn't
mean it.
Does happen to people. He didn't mean it.
Oh, I know. I'm sure he didn't, you know, but it's just, I guess the way it hit me when I first heard it. Oh, and if you want to know, he's in room 5107A.
Let me see. Room, what is it?
5107.
A.
Hey.
Okay.
But I listen to your show, and I think you're fantastic. I think you're beautiful.
Miss Blackburn, thank you.
You can make anybody laugh, even when they want to cry.
Well, you're going to make me cry if you keep talking like that. So long, Miss Blackburn.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
As an employer who hires a person on aid to families with dependent children, you may be eligible for a 20% tax credit on the wages you pay this person. For further information, call the Work Incentive Program, Division of Employment Security, at 727-6384. That's 727-6384.
Oh, Dennis, make a note of this. July 4th, 5th, and 6th are the days to remember for BZ's big broadcast of 1975. Now let's stay tuned to Radio 103 for complete details.
I guess we're supposed to have the details, huh? All right. Let's see. Don't forget the rounds of the sports competition now. Where are all the details? Stay tuned for all the details. Okay, let's take another call. 254-5678. We know it's the 4th of July at Dumphy's Hyannis Resort. And we'll have all these... why not play this little big broadcast? They'll have all the details on that. Yeah, here are all of the complete details.
BZ's big broadcast to help fight muscular dystrophy. 54 hours of radio memory. 5 stars. In person at BZ's big broadcast.
Ben Grauer.
Mason Adams.
Mary Jane Higby.
Leon Johnny.
George Ansbrough.
Evelyn Justice.
Ira Ashley.
Adam Keith.
Jackson Beck.
Marvin Miller.
Ted Bell.
Brett Morrison.
BZ's big broadcast.
Direct from Dumphy's Hyannis Resort.
For advanced ticket reservations, call MD at 890-0300.
Now let's stay tuned to Radio 103 for complete details.
Okay, you'll get the details one of these days. We'll give you the details. Hey, and I'll be happy to see Bob Blasser again. I'll be happy to see you, Bobby. Can't tell you why. Let's take another call, please. 25 after 2. Hello, WBZ. Come if you can hear me.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
This is Vincenzo from Boston.
Hey, Vincenzo.
Hey, you know, I got a good call for you.
You know Bobby Vincent?
Huh?
You know Bobby Vincent?
No, I never heard of him.
You're from East Boston, Vincenzo?
Yeah.
You never heard of him?
No.
Come on, tell me the truth.
I never heard of him.
Were you born in East Boston?
No, I was just here for about a year.
Oh, just where'd you come from?
New York City.
Oh, no wonder. Oh, okay.
Hey, here's your call.
Wait a minute. Hey, Vincenzo, how come you're settling in East Boston?
Huh?
I knew that you went from East Boston because everyone knows him there in East Boston. But I knew that you went there for long. How come you came from New York? What part of New York?
I was living down there in New York City.
Where? What part?
Manhattan.
Yeah, and why'd you come to Boston?
Because my father and mother are up here.
Oh.
I was living down there, you know, but I didn't like it much, so I came back up here.
Yeah, what did you do in New York?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Swimming down there, you know?
Swimming?
Yeah.
In the East?
So I get a good call for you. You want to call?
Hey, wait, Vincenzo, wait a minute. And where'd you go swimming? The East River?
Huh?
Where'd you go swimming?
Where did you go swimming?
You said you went swimming.
So I was just hanging around.
Hanging around?
Yeah.
How old are you?
20.
What do you do now?
Nothing. Oh, living the easy life, good life.
Who supports you? Who feeds you?
Myself.
If you don't do nothing, who feeds you?
Well, I do something, but...
Like what? Where do you get the bread?
I get it saved up. I got a little bank account.
Where'd you get the bank account? Come on, Vincenzo. Tell me the truth.
If you let me tell you who to call up, and I'll tell you who gave me the bank account.
Okay.
And my grandfather.
Your grandfather?
Right.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Why did he give...
He could tell you some stories that you wouldn't believe.
What kind?
Well, you know, he was...
Go ahead.
Big part of, you know, when he was in New York City, coming here from Sicily.
Yes.
When he was just a kid.
Right.
So he can tell you some stories, you know, even, you know.
What kind of stories, Vincenzo?
Well, mafia stories. If you want to hear them.
Was he in the mafia?
Sure.
He was in the mafia.
Well, you know, when he was young.
How about you?
I don't know.
Huh? What do you mean you don't know?
I don't know, you know. But I mean, he can tell you some stories.
Where does he live?
He lives in Sicily now. But I guess, you know, if you want to call him up in Sicily, I'll get your number. But he's going to be here in about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah?
So you can call him up at my house if you want. Or you can call him up, you know.
I like to call him in Sicily, yeah. But if I call him in Sicily, yeah, what's his first name?
Huh?
What's his first name?
Joe.
If I said, hey, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe, yeah.
Giuseppe, I said, can you tell me a few stories? He might think that maybe the telephone line would be tapped, and then they might tap him.
He's old now. All the stories you can tell you are not important to the cops anymore.
Oh. How old is
he's about 80.
Oh.
Yeah, I can listen to him for hours, you know.
Tell me one or two stories that you remember that he told you.
Oh, back about 1925, him and his wife were getting out of the car, going up to their hotel room, and they were getting out of the elevator, opened the door to the front room, and he turned on the lights, and just all of a sudden he just started even shotgun bolts, you know.
Uh-oh.
And you know, he got one in the leg, and my grandmother got one in the chest.
Oh, really?
So you know, she died about 2 years after that. But she was never the same after that, you know.
Who was it that did it?
He never find out.
He never?
You know. He's been shot close to 4 or 5 times. Knifed
and shot, and he's still up to 80
years
old.
Yeah, that's what I can't believe.
When did he retire?
After the 40s.
Yeah.
He went over to Sicily, gathered money, you know.
Right.
Went over to Sicily, stayed there. He never really wanted to come over to this country anyway.
Yeah.
Except his father.
What does your father do?
My father, he's dead.
What happened to him?
He's dead.
Was he in the rockets too?
No.
You'd rather not say.
Yeah. Well,
it
doesn't matter about him.
So, wait, but you live by yourself.
Huh?
You live by yourself?
No, my mother up here.
Oh, I thought you said your mother died.
My mother.
Oh, this was your grandmother.
Grandmother
died.
Who got shot.
Oh, yeah.
She got shot, and a couple years after she got shot, she died.
Oh, yeah. Eddie. Get a hold of it. I'd like to speak. Maybe we'll speak to this guy's grandfather in Sicily and have him tell stories. Hold on.
Yeah, just Larry.
What?
You ever been to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, once.
Good out there?
Well, yeah, it's fun. I mean, not to live. I wouldn't like to live out there.
No?
It's good for 3 days.
Yeah? I hear you talking about this guy, Hole in the Wall Restaurant.
Yeah, Batista.
Yeah, I want to go out there sometime to some, you know?
Give him my regards when you go out there. You'll like him. I never met him, but he sings on the program.
It's good out there, huh?
Yeah.
I don't want to lose all my money.
No, don't take it then.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Vincenzo.
Yeah.
Stay on the line.
Yeah.
And give Eddie the number of your grandfather, your number here, and your grandfather's number in Sicily.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Hey, you understand Italian?
Yeah.
Stop the bono.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Stay on the line. Jerry Williams gets into the issues. Weeknights at 8 on WBZ Boston Group W Westinghouse Broadcasting. Let's take a call. 254-5678. Hello.
Larry.
Yes.
Yes, I'm calling about a previous caller that you
yes.
had on who talked about the U.S. Independent Party.
Yes.
I'd just like to bring one point to bear on that particular conversation.
Yes.
Any time that you have a politician who represents a particular party and subscribes to that party's platform, he is anything but independent. Therefore, the name U.S. Independent Party is a great misnomer. It really has no application in fact at all.
Here, 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 here.
I think that man is laboring under a delusion. He's 58 years old.
Yes.
And he claims he's a credit manager.
Yes.
Probably that's the reason that credit in this country is in such a mess.
Here, here.
And we have people like that running credit systems.
Here, here.
What else you got to say, Larry, besides here, here?
Well, I mean, I'm just...
You're with the people, right?
I'm with the people, that's right.
All right. But we can't mislead the people either.
No. We have to lead them, not mislead them.
Well, that gentleman is misleading a great many people, I'm afraid.
Yes. Are you in politics, my friend?
No, I'm not. I've just been a casual observer for the past 20 years.
What do you do?
I'm an attorney.
Yeah, and what area?
Where
do you practice?
What area? You mean where?
Where do you practice?
Where? In Boston.
Oh. What do you specialize in?
What do you need?
No, I don't need anything, as a matter of fact.
We deal in a very general practice, but I have been a casual observer of the past 20-some-odd years of politics and politicians in the city of Boston and in the state of Massachusetts. And I just feel that it's misrepresentation on his part opposed not only to other people, but probably to himself, to describe anybody who holds himself out as an independent but belonging to a party. That person is anything but independent, because he is then coerced, and he is also motivated by the thoughts of other people, and he cannot then exercise his individual attention as he sees fit, but must respond to the needs, the desires, and the wishes of those who have elected him from the party.
Barrister, let me ask you a question.
Yes,
your opinion. Are you in politics at all? I mean,
no,
are you active?
Just a casual observer.
Yeah. What about our two-party system? Are we going to go towards a dictatorship, do you think?
Well, Larry, are we going towards a dictatorship? I have a fear not to a dictatorship. Probably a dictatorship would be preferential to what I see coming.
What do you see coming?
I see coming a fragmentation of the American public. I see the American public in a position of being led in many different directions at many different times by many different individuals. I see a splintering of philosophies. I see a divergence of opinion that is so multifaceted as to defy imagination. A return to a simple two-party system would probably be the panacea and the answer for a great many of our ills, but I think that that is probably outmoded. There has been speculation that perhaps our whole system is leading to a system of communism, a form, a style of communism. I don't think it can be dictated as anything else other than communism. Whether that's good or bad remains to be seen, because neither you nor I have the power to perceive what the future will hold for all of us and what is good or bad for anybody.
Barrister, we can look at the maps of the world and see where socialism or communism has taken over. And it's growing and growing and growing. In your opinion, Barrister, do you think that there'll be a major confrontation between the capitalistic or industrialized nations versus communism, or do you think that there'll be another major...
Larry.
That's what I mean.
No.
Or do you think that there'll be eventually, in our time, a major confrontation between the East and the West?
Not physically.
No. Very
mentally,
good.
Yes.
It'll just continue this way.
Yes, because it always has been a war of ideas. And the question is, who is winning that particular war?
Well, let's say in the last 20 years...
Looking at the map, we're losing it.
I was just going to say, right, since you've been a casual observer in the past 20 years, if you look at the maps and see the growth and power of the communist countries, that's something to think about, eh, Barrister?
Well, Larry, I think that you can tie it down to, particularly in this country, the prevalence of thought and the manner in which our thinking is directed is certainly based on a couple of factors, and probably most important of all is the influence of the media. The media, as you may take it, on our philosophical political persuasions. There has been a growing tendency over the past 15 years for the writers, for the commentators, to take the anti-status, to be opposed to that which myself at age 42 have grown up to believe in. I mean, my whole philosophy, the philosophy that I was taught, is becoming completely contradictory to what I read in newspapers every day. We look at the countries that have gone over, if you will, and the press heralds them as being the champion of democracy, that the people are speaking. And yet, really, when you get down to the bottom of it, take Portugal as a very good example. A country that was dominated for a good many years.
Beginning a day at 1 o'clock. Waking up at 1 o'clock to go to work to get there, what, about 2?
Yeah. It seems like you're not good fortune of being in Portugal 2 years ago, shortly before the, quote, popular uprising, unquote. And yet, now you see that after the election that was held, where the socialists prevailed by quite a wide margin, now the government, the military government, which is far more... much more left-leaning, has all but put that socialist government, the socialist party, out of business.
Right.
So that's anything but democracy.
Let me ask you a question. What are you doing up this time of the morning?
Larry, I had a very important meeting in New Hampshire tonight, and I was driving down from New Hampshire to my home on the South Shore. I heard your program, and when I am up late, I try to listen in to see what's going on, to see whether or not it's going to be a ragbag evening or an evening where we're studded with philosophy. It might seem to be one of those evenings.
Well, you have to keep it varied.
Yes, sir.
Right. Listen, Barrister, thanks very, very much. I enjoyed hearing from you. Right. Good night.
254-567. That you're on WBZ.
Hello. Hello, Twin, if you can hear me.
Hello. Hello once. Hello twice. I'll leave it there. Let's take another call. Hello.
I'm not talking to him, Diane.
What's that? Yes, you are. You want, madam. This.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you, Larry?
Fine, thank you, madam.
I've been listening to you for years.
First time caller?
Yes, ma'am.
What's your first name?
Ruth.
Where are you calling from?
Dorchester.
Hey, Ruth from Dorchester.
I'm confined stead, and I really enjoy your program immensely.
Ruth, I thank you kindly, ma'am.
You are very excellent guest.
Ruth, I do the best I can every night.
Oh, that's definite. You couldn't do any better if you tried.
Ruth, to whom were you speaking?
My daughter.
What's your first name?
She insisted, Diane.
Diane.
She insisted. She is... He is trying to get you, and she said, I am going to get him tonight if I have to stay up all night to do it.
Diane said that?
Yes.
I like that stick-toot of this. I really do, Ruth.
They held the phone one night 3 hours trying to get through to you.
Ah, what frustration.
Say a quick hello to her, would you, please?
Where is she?
Right here.
Hello. Diane? Diane. How old are you, Diane?
18.
That was nice of you, Diane, to stay up and say, have that bulldoggedness to stick with it. I like that. That's why you'll be a success, Diane. I don't care what you do. If you have that same desire to set a goal and stick with it, by Jove, you're going to be successful.
She really enjoys listening to you.
Well, that's good, Diane. I mean, I like to get new listeners and keep them interested, entertained, and informed as much as I can.
She really enjoys Auger, too.
Oh, well, you know, good old Auger. Here the other night, she was, I don't know how to say this delicately. She was,
She was singing.
She was singing, but she, you know what she was singing on? Brandy Alexander's. 18 Brandy Alexander's. She was out of her skull. Well, listen, dear, I want to thank you very, very much for being on with us and let Mommy keep listening, okay?
Okay.
So long, Diane. So long, Diane. So long, Ruth.
254-567-8. You're on WBC.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this
Larry Click?
Let me check. Yes. You're on the air.
Oh, I am.
Yes. Could you turn your radio off, please?
Yes, okay. Certainly. Hello, Larry?
Hello?
Yes, Larry.
Yes.
Yes, this is Channing from Olathe Beach, Maine.
Channing, old boy. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine, thank you.
Yes.
Just fine. Listen, I called you up to ask you a few questions.
All right. My answer hat is on.
Okay. One question I'd like to ask you, Larry. Well, first of all, I'd like to say that you have... I'm not a first-time caller.
Yes, Channing. That's
I'm like a seventh-time caller.
That's a classy name, Channing.
Channing. The Channing Glick Show. That's a very classy name, Channing.
No, not the Channing Glick Show.
Oh. Go ahead, Channing.
Okay. Listen, Larry. You've done several radio things. And I used to be a DJ out of ROD in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Yes.
And I never had the opportunity to hear Raw of the World.
Oh, yes.
Which is quite good.
That's right, Orson Welles.
Yes.
War of the Worlds.
Right. That's really good, you know.
We usually play that on Halloween.
Are you kidding?
No.
Why Halloween?
Oh, I know, we just do.
Oh, no, that's a rotten chain, that.
Why?
Because I think I've never heard it before.
Well, it's a long show, it's an hour show.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, I wish you could get into it sometime.
Well, I can. One night, we'll take 1 hour off and just put the album on. I mean, Channing, if it gives you pleasure, by Jove, I'll present it to programming. What do you do up there in Maine?
Well, I tell you, I'm a musician.
What do you play?
I play guitar and sing. I work locally. I came here for the summer to work on the beach.
Yes.
And I have been working for sure in hotels. Which has been a pretty good job, you know.
Channing?
I came up to Maine because I really love it here, and I love the people here.
Channing, can you sing a song for us now?
Well, I can't really because I don't have my guitar here.
Nah.
I'm at my girlfriend's house.
Yeah, you should be out of there by now, this time of the morning.
Well, I'm just sitting here.
Oh, okay.
We're listening to the Larry Glick Show.
That's different. That's
probably
different.
The greatest show in America.
Channing, it's not necessary to say that, but I believe you.
Well, it's the truth. Larry Glick. So listen, Larry, I listen to you every, well, I'd say four nights a week anyway, because I finish playing about, I finish playing about 1 o'clock.
Right.
And I make it home and snap on the radio and listen to WBC.
You're okay, Channing.
Well, sometimes.
What's that? In Old Orchard, eh?
Yeah, Old Orchard Beach.
Right, I know.
Right,
I know. I've been up there.
Yeah.
It's a very nice place.
I'm really into scuba diving.
Yes.
Getting into it. And I'm here for the summer to get myself in shape and do a little, you know, scuba diving this summer.
What kind of stuff do you sing, Channing?
Well, I do a lot of my own stuff. As a matter of fact, Larry, I'm recording at Ace in Boston next month.
I wonder, do my friends still have that place? Yakkas?
You're talking Milt Yakkas, yeah, definitely.
They still have that place?
Sure, Milt Yakkas.
Milton, is Herbie still there? Herbie Yakkas, Milton Herbie?
I don't know, Larry.
Hey, would you give them my regards? I haven't seen them in ages.
Well, I haven't seen him in about 2 years, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I called him up last week and talked to him about coming down for a recording session.
Yes.
And we've got everything lined up. We're going to do, cut the master tape.
What do you do, country,
No,
pop?
Larry, I do,
blues,
say,
jazz?
Well, you must be familiar with Garden Lightfoot.
Oh, of course.
And sure, I'm kind of along that line, you know, Larry.
Yeah.
I do, like to do, Garden Lightfoot type of stuff. To me, he's the greatest, and I like B.J. Thomas.
How about something like Cherokee Bend? This is Gordon Lightfoot right here. Listen, just for about 30 seconds.
Okay, lay it on me, Larry.
Okay, Gordon.
His father was a man who could never understand the shame on a red moon face. So they lived in the hills and they never came down, but the street in the white man's place. Early in the spring, the snow disappeared. They came down with a bag of skin. In the fall of the year of 1910, Daddy died by the road down in Cherokee Bend.
That's down in Cherokee Bend.
Yes, it's a very good song.
Yes.
He's absolutely fantastic.
I'll play this song in its entirety when I go to get the news on the hour. Okay?
Oh, that would be great, Larry. That would be great.
I don't fool around.
I know you don't. Listen to you, like I say, Larry, you know.
What club are you playing at?
I'm working at the Colonial Hut in Biddeford, Maine. It's a restaurant type of, you know, it's a supper club.
Yeah.
And I more or less have to play, you know, light type of music.
Right.
You know, I don't really dress up. I gave it up a long time ago. You know, I used to wear a bow tie and walk in with a jacket and all that stuff. But I can't, I more or less get away from it, Larry. I just dress the way I want to dress and play when I want to play. And I enjoy myself a lot more. You know, being myself, I enjoy myself a lot more.
Listen, if they need a banjo man, can you give me a call?
Larry?
Yes.
If they ever need a banjo man, I will give you a call.
Oh, well, let me get my four string. I played both four and five. Let me get my four stringer up here.
Is that right?
Yeah. Thank you very much for calling me.
And have a good weekend.
Thank you, Channing.
Whenever it comes up. And I'll call you again sometime.
And I'll play Gordon Lightfoot for Channing.
Okay. And so, listen, Larry, I'm going to send you a copy of my record.
All right.
And if you can find the time at 4:30 in the morning or whatever to play it for me, I'd really appreciate it.
Your favor will be granted. So long, Channing.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy your show. It's really great.
Thank you.
Listen, me every night.
Thank you, Channing.
Okay, good night, Larry.
Good night. 254-5678, you're on WBZ. Hello? Hello? Hello, come in if you can hear me. Commander Glick here. Sounds like we're in a bus station or a train station. Hello? Must be someone there. We'll give him 5-6 seconds. Hello? 1, 2, come in if you can hear me. 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's take another call.
254-5678.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Grand Rapids,
first time caller?
No.
Mm-hmm. What's your first name, lady?
Evangela.
Yeah, I called you before. Evangela, I don't rightly recall that name before, Evangela. But anyway, nice to have you with us. Grand Rapids, eh?
Grand Rapids. Did it shock you to hear about the death of Ozzie Nelson at such a age?
It saddened me, but it didn't shock me, because we all of us have to go to Happy Hunting Ground.
Well, you know, the type of family they were.
Yes.
They were really a credit to the business they were in.
I agree with you.
And on a program, on a news program today.
Yes.
We broadcast. They had asked him a question about did he think that the family life, as we knew it in years earlier years, you know, when children were brought up to obey and to be a credit to the family, you know.
Yeah.
And his remark was such, I wish you could get that and rebroadcast it again. What? I think you'll...
See if you can remember. See if you can remember some of it, Evangeline.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
See if you can remember some of it. You can, I know you can. What were some of the things he said, Evangeline?
Well, he mentioned the fact that it was changing, you know, our life is changing. And, I wish I could remember exactly what he said, and that's why I'd like to hear it again. I was sort of preoccupied, I think it came over WBBM Chicago.
Oh, yeah. He had cancer of the liver. He said it's strange. He never smoked or drank.
He didn't?
No, he didn't smoke or drink.
Well, you know, that's what puzzled me, but I wondered whether it does say it. Cancer strikes people that have never done that either. You know?
Yeah, right. Evidently, it did him, right.
Don't you think that the food that we eat nowadays,
yes,
that contributes to cancer?
I would say so, yes. I would say with many of the preservatives they put in it and the way they refine it, I would say that food has a great deal of... Food has to do with our general health, the foods that we eat. As a matter of fact, I used to like a lot of the junk foods, and just lately I went off it. I stopped eating junk foods, and I just feel better. I've taken off a couple of pounds, too, and I feel better. I think that when my parents were young people, they didn't eat this junk food at all, and they were much healthier.
I don't know whether you knew about it, but Gaylord, Gaylord Houser.
I know him.
You know him?
Yes.
He's still keeping the Hollywood people like, what's his name, Cummings.
Yes, I interviewed him, too. I met him, too.
Oh, you did?
Here in Boston, yes. I interviewed him, and we hit it off. I liked him very much.